was going to say thank you, young people, but the median age of our violin class has gone up just a degree or two. Amen. I said, but that's good. So Belinda started playing the violin. Unreal. She can hardly play every other instrument, so might as well make it a full orchestra. One person. Outstanding. Hey, that was tremendous. I mean, tremendous. Outstanding. Very good. Thank you for that good song, young people. That's a blessing. Well, it's good to been good to have the Brother Greg. Something's funny about this. It's either way too loud out there, or it's reverberating or something. So if we can go back to normal setting, it just shut me off. That's good. All right, that'll. But I'll fix you, right? Amen. But been good to have the family home for a few months to have the baby and God's grace in giving him another healthy baby. That was wonderful. And keeping Ashley healthy and well through the pregnancy was huge, and we're certainly grateful for that. And now they return Wednesday to the work. There's a crisis in Madagascar, so they'll be flying into one when they get back. So there's no peanut butter on the island. None. Zero peanut butter on the island. Now, how many of you would that affect in a serious way if there was no peanut butter? See, look around. Okay, well, there you go. So they've been getting calls from the island. We don't need Bible. Who needs a Bible? You know, who needs a New Testament? Bring peanut butter. And so Andrea and Audrey and Brent are going to be taking 50 pounds of peanut butter when they go over in just a few weeks. But there's no peanut butter on the island. They get plenty of lemurs, but they don't make good peanut butter, okay? So anyway, they will head back on Wednesday. And O'Hare is a place of tears. That's all there is to it. It's tears when they come in. It's tears when they say goodbye. And it'll be a place of tears again. So part of it, but never gets any easier, I'll tell you that much. And even more so as the kids get a little older, I think. It's not as easy. But, hey, I'm a firm believer, still believe it, that I'd rather be in the will of God 9,500 miles away than down the street out of the will of God. So I appreciate your love and care for them. They've been a blessing to the family while they've been here. And that means a ton. So he's going to preach. Are you going to come and introduce the video after the song? So Ryan and Sarah have the song. And when they are done, then we'll turn it over to Brother Ben. Okay.
Time measured out my days, life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could be gained. Just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I could tell you some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me, I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. With all my heart, offered to the friend to
Tonight and to show the video, and we did have a video, but we haven't shown it since we've been back. And some people asked my wife about seeing the ministry in Madagascar, and so I made a video, and I hope you'll enjoy it. It's going to be very similar to the one we showed a year or two ago, but basically it's going to be just our church in review for 2018. And every year we have a watch night. A party at our church in Madagascar. We go till about, we make it till about 1 or 2 in the morning, and most of them go all night, and we don't make it all night. But it's a biggest party, or the biggest thing in the year in Madagascar. The New Year is big to them, and so every year I make a video of kind of just the highlights of the ministry, and people always enjoy seeing the pictures and the video. And all that we did in the last year, and I condensed that down. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. You're going to see some people from this church. You're going to see Brother Brent and his wife on the video, because he came and preached camp and for us last year. And Katie and Joanna Burdett and my wife were all pregnant at the same time at camp. So it must have been something in the water, I don't know, or what. But and so they had a good time. But Katie and Joanna were sick during that week, but it was good memories. And you're going to see also we have a through Brother Rick Thacker, and what you saw with his work with these the people that play the violins. He helps us get instruments to use in Madagascar, and we use those as twofold. We use it for people outside of our church. We use it as an outreach. We have a we teach English, and then we also have a musical instrument outreach as well. And so we'll help them either learn English or learn an instrument. If they're from within our church, it just helps our own church ministry. And hopefully someday we'll be able to have a group like played there. A few minutes ago, well, we hopefully have that in Madagascar. And so you're going to see some of that. And what we do with that is we make them commit to a two-year program. We say you have to come to the weekly lessons. You have to practice every day. And you have to do a monthly Bible study. And after 2 years, if they complete that and they pay a little bit towards the program, then we give them the instrument. And they can never afford to get one and pay for lessons and instrument on their own, so we try to do that. You'll see our juvenile prison ministry. We have a Christmas party every year where we just go and have a good time with them at Christmas time and preach to them. We go there once a month. You won't see our adult prison ministry. We can't show any kind of video or pictures of that, but we go to an adult prison once a month as well. And we have, I would say, probably 20 to 25 inmates in the Prison Bible Institute who've been saved and are doing Bible studies every month. And they don't have a lot to do in prison, so we give them Bible studies, and they complete those, and we grade them as we come back every month. And you're going to see teen camp, and that was fun. You know, Kite River was in its infancy this year. It was the first year, but I promise it was not as rustic as Madagascar, and they can tell you a hot bath in Madagascar camp is going to the big pot, and getting some hot water out and carting it back up to your shower place and taking a bath. And you're gonna when you don't have all the things in America, you improvise. You're gonna see our hillbilly water slide, and that was a bust. That didn't work well. You'll see that on the video. And we tried. And this a lot of things. And so hopefully a blessing too. You can see the influence that this church has had in Madagascar in 2018. And I hope you'll enjoy it. It'll be a blessing to you. I hope that was a blessing to you. And that's what happens because of a missions program. And this church has an influence all around the world, but a big influence in Madagascar. And you know, there's a lot of people that their lives are touched by a ministry, by the ministry of this church. And that sign, Fiangununa Batista Finuna, that's Faith Baptist Church in Malagasy. And so that picture was taken on our last Sunday in Madagascar in March. And it's hard to believe that the time has gone so fast. And this morning, Nellie came in the kitchen before she was getting on the bus for breakfast or something. And she looked at me and she said, "Today's going to be a sad day." And she said, "I'm going to have to say goodbye to all my friends." And and I said, "Well, you know, that's true. That's true. It's a sad day." But and it is sad. It is sad for the kids. You know, it's they enjoy it. I want to say thank you so much. That they have just fit right. They have just come right in and just made all the friends in the world and seen their old friends. And they have had such a great time. And but I said, you know, that's true. It is sad, and it always will be to say goodbye. But I'm glad we're there doing what we're doing. And we wouldn't be there if we didn't want to be there. And we're not you know, made to be there. We want to be there. And I got up this morning, and I was having my devotions, and I thought, you know, the goodbyes are tough, but I am ready. And there's even an element of excitement, you know, just to get back to that and to get back to the work. Pray for us. It's been a little bit of a difficult year or so in ministry, and it's going to be like that. You know, this church has had some difficult years, and there's been some difficult years in the Christian school or in the youth group or different aspects of a church. And so it's been a little bit of a different difficult year. We've had some problems and some disappointments, but I believe that God's Word has the answer. Pray for me to be able to help give them that answer from the Word of God in their culture and something that can where they can grasp it. And they're not Americans. And sometimes it's tough. We're coming from an American aspect, and we make mistakes. We make the wrong move sometimes and don't realize it. So pray for us. Pray for us to get a bigger location. I don't know. Maybe it's all falling apart since I was here. But we were filling that place up. That's exciting because Brother Brent was there. You remember when we were still upstairs and we walked down and looked at that lower level together, we talked about that space and we got that space for the rent, and now that space is filling up. And so it's a good problem. We need to get a new location probably sometime in the near future, and God knows all about that. And I want to say, just real quick, I want to say thank you to the people of the church. You've been such a blessing, and so many of you have been just a tremendous blessing to our family. And I want to say a big thank you to the school, Brother Bragg and the school. They came in at the end of the school year, and thank you for letting them be a part of that and just for all the help in the school. We were lost. We didn't know. You know, we come in March, and what's normal to everybody else, you're trying to get a grip on things. And thank you, Brother Mick and Leah. Thank you for the youth group. You've been a big blessing to McKenna. She's enjoyed that this year. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for the pain and the people in our Sunday school class. We have enjoyed Sunday mornings when we have been here together. It's been great, and got to end it on a good note today with Mrs. McDonald's cinnamon rolls and for breakfast. So, but we appreciate you, Brother Payne, and your wife, and the other couples in that class. Thank you so much. It's just been a blessing. We're going to miss you all. And then I want to say a special thank you to our neighbors. And or you know, I classify as neighbors. And Brother Joe, thank you. Brother Griffin, thank you. You live close to Granny there where we've been staying. Thank you for all your help. It's been fun. It's been fun working on things together and doing things. And I appreciate you so very much and cutting down trees. And glad that's done, right? And glad Granny is moving back in. And then the gardeners, our kids have really enjoyed getting to be with your kids. And of course, the Brad kids, too, who are over at Grandpa and Grandma's house. And then Brother Williams, you live down the street a little bit, but I've enjoyed the time with you and riding the bike and sometimes in the morning. And you make us fat passing out the candy, But then you helped, you know, ride it off on the bike, so I appreciate that. But we're going to miss you. Thank you so much. That's been good times together. And just so kind. Others who have had us to their home and taken care of us and been so kind to us. Thank you so much. And let's go to Mark chapter 6 tonight. A little different message. And honestly, I really don't know how this is going to turn out. And it's going to be a very, very simple message, and I don't expect anyone to say, "Wow, remember that message." But you know, that's not the point of a message anyways. What I'm hoping tonight is that all of us will get something that'll help us, and I'm hoping all of us will get a truth that we can take and we can apply to our lives, and maybe all of us can at some point down the road say, "You know, this was a help, and this truth was a help to me somehow." I hope it'll be a blessing in that way. And we'll go to Mark chapter 6, and we'll look at verse number 14, 15, and 16 to get started. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, speaking of Jesus, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John, whom I beheaded. He has risen from the dead." I want to just tonight, we have heard, when I've been in the services here, we've heard a lot of strong preaching in the past few months. At least I know I have. And I just want to, sometimes you preach something and then someone comes in and a different voice preaches the same thing. And it's just a different voice saying it, the same thing over again. And I just want to just kind of, I'm not going to preach anything tonight that no one has ever heard before. It's going to be very familiar, but hopefully it'll be a help to you. And I don't know how many times, maybe Dad or Brother Mick or Brother Mike or others in the room, someone, you sat across from someone and they've made this comment like, "I don't know how it happened, but it all just unraveled." Or, "I never thought I would be here in this situation, but it just got out of hand." Have you ever said that? You ever heard anybody say that? Make that statement. Things just got out of hand. And we're going to look tonight at a man, King Herod, and in his life, things just got out of hand. And the message tonight is the ghost of preacher's past, the ghost of preacher's past. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take this message, maybe a little bit different, more of a thought than a message. But Lord, I think we need it. I know I do. I need it in my life. And I think that there are others like me, Lord, who need this truth and nothing new. But I pray it would just reemphasize something to us tonight and help us down the road, maybe, in areas where we live, Lord, in our homes, our marriages, our everyday lives. Nothing sensational, but I pray it help us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Herod thought that John had risen from the dead and now had supernatural powers. You remember, the Bible says that John didn't do any miracles. The Bible tells us that. So all of a sudden, Jesus appears on the scene, and Herod thinks it's John whom I beheaded, and now he has supernatural powers. Now, can this happen? No. People can't just come back from the dead on their own. Every time in the Bible someone came back from the dead, they were raised from the dead by the power of God. And it's interesting to me. It's funny to me. I can't laugh at people, but in Madagascar, say, "Hey, Pastor, did you hear about that person that came back from the dead?" And they said they died and they went to heaven and they saw all these things in heaven and they came back and now they have a message for us. And they say, "Well, that may sound sensational, but it's not biblical." And that just doesn't happen. So we know that didn't happen. And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, but the interesting thing to me is that they said, they talked about Jesus, and Herod first said, "Hey, it's John the Baptist coming, risen back from the dead." And then they said, "Well, maybe it's a prophet or someone else or Elias." And he said, "No, it's John whom I beheaded." Okay? Why did Herod respond that way? That's the first question that pops into my mind. Why? I don't know if he was a superstitious person or not, but he was convinced that it was Jesus, that it was John who had risen from the dead. Now, that's not something you see every day, is it? And that's not a typical response from someone. And I believe that it was because of his conscience. I believe God gives every one of us a conscience. And I believe that Herod had one, and that the ghost, if you will, of John the Baptist, and when he beheaded him, that it haunted him, that it gave him a guilty conscience, that it was on his conscience and his mind. And it affected him. Now, to give the story, Herod Antipas divorced his legal wife and stole Herodias from his brother and stole his wife. And John the Baptist confronted Herod about his sin and said, that's not right. And when he did, it made Herodias mad. And she wanted to kill him, but Herod put John in prison. Now, John was a holy, we know he was a holy preacher, he was a man of God, he was filled with the Spirit, and he was a righteous and a burning and a shining light. And when he confronted Herod, he had a problem with what John said. And I'm not going to read the verse in the story, you know the story? On his birthday, things got out of hand for Herod, didn't they? He had a birthday party, and he lost control of that situation. And it spun out of control on him. Kind of like a little fire. You ever started a little fire and it got out of control? And you didn't intend for that to happen too? We had to happen in Madagascar. We didn't start the fire, but someone started a fire on the other side of our house there, and it got out of control. And that can happen. You know, in our lives, things can get out of control. Things we didn't intend to happen can happen. And things can happen that damage people. And so Salome, who was the daughter of Herodias, she came in and she danced. And the Bible doesn't say that it was a wicked, sensual party and dance. But you can imagine that. The word for please, when her dance pleased, it means to excite the emotions. And so probably at this point, Herod's mind and his passions are inflamed by alcohol and lust. And when he's inflamed and he's not right, he makes a foolish promise, doesn't he? He says, whatever you want, I'm going to give you up to the half of the kingdom. And what does she do? She asks for John the Baptist's head in a charger. And now he has a choice, doesn't he? Now he has to go through with it or back out. And his pride wouldn't let him do it, would it? Wouldn't let him back out. And I believe that when Herod chose to behead John the Baptist, when he did that, he crossed the line. He crossed the line. And I believe that he was a walking dead man from that time on. It's interesting that in the Bible, in Luke 23, says, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Jesus Christ didn't speak to him. Jesus Christ didn't talk to him. And folks, the honest truth of the matter is this, I don't know when that time is, but I know that when it comes to salvation, when it comes to that in people's lives, there is a time when the Holy Spirit is working, He is convicting, He is calling, He is at work in someone's life, and I don't know when that time is, but there can come a time, I believe, in someone's life when they reject, and they reject, and they reject, and they reject, and they reject. And we don't know when that last time is, when the Holy Spirit stops working and backs away. That's it. Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't call, you're not getting saved on your own when you want to. And Herod didn't mean for it to get a hand. He didn't plan to cross the line, but he did. And I just want to say to all of us tonight, there are some lines that we can cross in our lives. Lines that have consequences. Lines that when all sin is destructive, we know that, but there are some things that when we cross the line, there, you can't go back and change it. You can't reverse it. You can't eat it. It was literally a life-altering decision that you have made, and some actions can never be undone. So what happened with Herod? There were three elements, three things that happened in his progression that took him across the line, and if we're not careful, it'll take us across the line too. Number one, a rejection of truth. Look at it in verse number 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. You know what happened? John confronted him and said, what you're doing is not right. What you're doing is not pleasing to God. It's not right. And folks, I want to say that we have a book and we have 66 preachers that preach to us if we open the Bible and read it. We have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. And when we are not right about something, He puts His finger on something in our lives and says that's not right. And we have, thank God, a man of God and other preachers that come through this pulpit and they preach to us. They don't preach their philosophy. They don't preach an opinion. They preach, thus saith the Lord. And sometimes part of their job is to get up and preach and say, that's not right. And we're confronted with it. And when that time comes, we have the choice to repent and get it right or to do what Herod did. And you know what Herod did? He put him in prison. But he let him out. And Herod liked to listen to him about other things, didn't he? He liked to listen to him about all kinds of things, but not that adultery stuff. And do we do that? Do we put the Holy Spirit in prison? Oh, we want to come. We put the preacher in prison. We come to church when he's preaching about God's grace and this and that and things that we enjoy, things that we're on board with. Boy, we like that. But when the Holy Spirit or the preacher starts to deal with that subject, then I'm not listening. Do we do that? Do we ignore it? Do we say, you know, my ears are closed on that subject, even though we have been confronted with truth? And the truth of the matter is, if we don't humble ourselves and get it right, it's going to put us at enmity with God and His Word and the preacher and the man of God. And we're going to start down a dangerous path when all it took was to get it right. Number two, it started with the rejection of truth. And then it went further, a deadening of our spiritual conscience. We just read that in those verses where Herod would let him out. This, you know, he put him in prison. We don't know how long exactly John was in prison, but Herod would let him out. But you know what happens when we reject truth and we don't get things right? Our conscience and our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit begins to be deadened, doesn't it? I mean, so it's easier to continue down that. Let me ask a question. If truth and God's Word wasn't guiding Herod, then what was? What was? His friends? His own opinion? His own heart? His own feelings? His passions? We see that in the story. Though they were guiding him. Now let me ask us as Christians, if the Word of God is not guiding us, if the Spirit of God is not guiding us, if the Bible doesn't dictate what we do and what we don't do, and what is right and what is not right, then what is? Our thoughts, our friends, our associates, the culture, the news, the TV, what we see. If it's not the Bible that's dictating our lives, then what is? It's not the right thing, is it? And we continue on. And it is dangerous when we quench and grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And our conscience begins to be deadened, and we can get to the point where we can continue in that thing that He has put His finger on. We can continue and say, you know, I know, and we just get to the point where it's not a big deal. That's a dangerous thing. Because here's the third element. The first element was a rejection of truth. And then there's a deadening of the conscience. And then lastly, the opportune moment. Look at verse number 21. Look at when things became unraveled and when, here it is, a convenient day was come. Now, I know I'm speaking about His birthday, but a convenient day. You know what that word convenient means, a convenient day? It means an opportune time. Okay, so we reject the truth and now we're walking and we're being guided by our own thoughts, our own opinions, our own feelings on the matter, what others are saying, our own passions, our own desires, our own flesh. And now the only thing that is standing between us and crossing the line is the opportune time. And while we are living our lives and sleeping and going through this and cruising along, Satan is watching. And Satan is waiting. And he is watching and waiting. He is waiting for the right place and the right time and the right person, and the right situation, and he is waiting till he has the advantage, and boom, he strikes. And things can get out of hand, can't they? And things we never meant to do can happen. And things we never meant to say can be said. And some Christians can say, how could this have happened? Or we can see other Christians and hear what happened to them and say, how can Christians be capable? I'll tell you how. Because of the depravity of man. You know what that means? That means that the best of us have the capability to be just like the worst of us. That means that my flesh and your flesh is as capable of the most wicked and rotten sin as anybody else's. That means we are not exempt. And that means if we depart from truth and we walk in our own ways, that the only thing keeping us from taking that step across that line is the right time. And Satan is working. I just want to say this, and that's the truth. Major sin and implosions don't just happen. We know there's a progression, isn't there? It doesn't just happen. And there are some things that we can do and say when our passions are controlling us that can never be reversed, can never be undone. I want to say to the young people in the room tonight, you get one shot at making it to the marriage altar pure. One. That's it. One shot. And when the pastor and your parents and Brother Bragg and Brother Mick and the other Sunday school teachers and the people in your life stand up and say, you can't cut corners, you can't mess around, you can't mess with the rules, you can't go behind the back, you can't do this, you can't do that. They're not saying that to make your life miserable. They know you got one shot at it to be pure, and they know the temptation of the flesh, and they know that you got one shot, and they're trying to help you get there, and you start departing from the truth, you start going around and walking in your own way, you're only an opportune time from crossing the line. And once that's done, it can never come back. Irreversible. Irreversible. Not just that, but innocence. When innocence is lost. Innocence, you know, we talk about crossing the line and that, but how about innocence? You know, there's always a first time. There's a first time for many different sins, and it is the best thing if the young people grow up in this church and grow up in your teenagers and college and career before you get married. Even when we're married, it is best to be innocent. Once innocence is lost, you can never bring it back. That's it. We like that about the youth, but what about other things? What about anger? You know, Moses lost his temper a couple different times. And it didn't cost him. He lost his temper in Egypt, and he killed a man, didn't he? He lost his temper. He lost his temper and broke the Ten Commandments. It didn't cost him. But he lost his temper the third time. You're not going to the promised land. And he got there, and no doubt the greatest leader in history and one of the spoke to God face to face. I couldn't shine his shoes. And can you imagine after dealing with those people for 40 years and going through all of that to get them out of Egypt, standing up there on the mountain and looking over and saying, I can't go in because I crossed the line at the right time. Anger, the right people murmuring, the right stress on him, the right this, the right that, and boom! You know, you strike a spouse, you can never take that back. You strike a child, you can never take that back. And a man in Madagascar, and I love him, he's a good man. I got a call. Pray for my daughter. I don't know where she is. 16, I think, you're maybe 15 years old. Maybe 14, I don't know. She was on a bus to the coast. Got mad, left. Finally was able to track her down, and she did something wrong. But he got mad. He didn't take the teaching and the preaching that we'd given him all those years, and he got mad and grabbed the broom handle and beat his daughter. And she ran. You can't take that back. That can never be undone. Saying things, words that we speak when our passions are controlling us. They can never be undone. And don't tell me that words can't hurt. And don't tell me that people can't remember words. Husbands and wives can say things. We can say things to our kids. I have done this, and my wife, in private, Ben, you can't do that. It's only happened a couple of times. That's stupid. That's not good to say to a kid. Tell them what they did was stupid. And to my knowledge, whenever I've done this, but even worse is you're stupid. Saying things like that. In anger, see, it's good. Oh, those young people, don't cross the line and, you know, stay pure. But what about us? What about, has the Lord put something on our ever touch? The Holy Spirit said, this is not right. It's not really a big deal. I lose my temper. I lose this. I can't control my words. It's not a big deal. You know, you don't know. And I don't know. And then, how'd this happen? It just got out of hand. Financial decisions, whatever it is in our lives. Ananias and Sapphira, Lot, you want to talk about getting out of hand? Lot, did you ever think that would happen? No. What happened, Lot? It just got out of hand. That's the message tonight. And it's not real rah-rah, and it's not real tender, it's not, but it's just this morning I was sitting there listening to the message on humility. And it's been the last couple Sunday mornings, and sometimes, you know, when you have, I tell my kids, I wouldn't punish you if I didn't love you. And we know that's true, don't we? Because if I let this go, I could let it go and be your friend. You'd like me. But if I let that go, if I let you steal that without getting punished, you might steal and be put in jail someday. You know? If I let, and so we know that as parents, but sometimes as church members, when the man of God and the Spirit of God and the Word of God puts their finger on something in our lives as adults, we can be, and what we need is humility. I need to say, Lord, you're right. And I need help in this area because I don't want to have an implosion. I don't want to have a time where I cross the line. And do something that I'm going to regret the rest of my life. And the key is humility. Just keeping a humble spirit and saying, Lord, yes. It's not always easy, is it? It's very difficult. But that's the thought tonight. When the Holy Spirit and the man of God, I preach in Madagascar, I preach sometimes on things I know people are not going to like. And sometimes people think you're gunning for them, but sometimes the person that thinks you're gunning for them, they've already gone too far. Their mind's made up. But you're preaching to help other people in the congregation who haven't gone too far. They're mad at you because they think you're aiming at me. No, I'm not. You're already gone. I'm preaching to people who are looking at you. And following you. And they get mad. Paul told the church, I think in Galatians, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And if I just wanted a full building and people to like me all the time and be their buddy, I would never say anything against sin. But thank God we have a church, we have a pastor, we have a youth man, we have a school principal, we have teachers, we have some teachers, we have a Bible, we have a Holy Spirit who love us enough to say that's not right. And let's just get it right. Let's not let that thing get out of hand and cross the line. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless the truth. It's very simple. I need it as much as anybody in this room. And Lord, I know there have been times you've put things on you've touched things in my life, an area in my life, Lord, and said this needs to change, this needs to improve. That you need to work on this, you need to change, and this is not pleasing to me. And Lord, I know that I need humility. Change it and change it immediately and not think I can flirt with things and not have things happen. Lord, please help us in our marriages, our homes, our families, in our lives, Lord, in general, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to follow the man of God and your word. Please help us, Lord, to do that.
There's a little chorus. I don't know if it's in our song book or not. I was thinking about it there at the end of the message. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to thy will and to thy way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. I can't remember all the words. But that's the response. That's the response when the Spirit of God puts His finger on something in our lives. so that we don't cross a line and regret and live with regret the rest of our life. And I'm glad we have a merciful God. Merciful God. Moses had three opportunities, but folks, I believe too, there comes a time if we resist long enough, that's it. We don't want to do that. Are you saved tonight? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism? Do you need to just say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way? I submit to you. What do you need to do tonight to avoid getting out of hand? Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing the song of invitation as they do. You obey the Lord tonight. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to thy will and to thy way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I'll trust you and obey. The song goes on, when your spirit speaks to me. It talks about being willing to exercise humility and just say yes, Lord, yes. Talk to the Lord about it tonight if you talk to your heart. Speak to Him. Matters not what other people think. You do business with Him tonight. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Be seated, if you will, please. Good message. I'm glad he follows the Lord's leading, heading out, but he brought us what he felt like the Lord wanted us to hear tonight, and I appreciate that. And never really thought about that from that passage, but that's true. Herod lived with a guilty conscience, didn't he? He lived with that. So.